we're crossing to Japan now, and there isn't much that Dr. Dave Gerard, or Professor Dave Gerard, hasn't done when it comes to the Olympic Games, having attended the first Tokyo Olympics in 1964 as an athlete, where he reached the 200-metre butterfly semi-finals, and going on to serve as chef de mission, team doctor and medical commissioner at 9 subsequent Olympics. And Dave's role at this year's Olympics is as medical commissioner for FINA, which is the international body for swimming and water polo. And he's joining us this morning from Tokyo, where he's attending his 11th Summer Olympic Games. And if you're wondering, yes, we spoke to Dave's son, Daniel, at the very start of the show this morning, and Dave's grandson, Patrick, who came in with Daniel when we were discussing World Drowning Prevention Day. And this texter said, when was the last time three generations of the same family on the same day spoke on RNZ? Good morning, Dave.
Morena, Karen, and thank you very much for having me and the rest of my family on.
A lovely family. So it's here, it's just coming up to 10:45. You're 3 hours behind in Japan?
That's correct, Karen. We're just approaching, let me just check. I'm still on New Zealand time, but you're correct, it's 3 hours behind. So 7:40 in the morning here in a very hot and humid Tokyo.
Is it? Yeah. Your first appearance at the Olympics was in 1964 when you represented New Zealand. So this is really something of a full circle for you.
Well, it's always a great privilege and a great treat to be back in the Olympic environment. And this one in particular, as you say, for me, completes a very sentimental loop. So exciting to be back in the city that I have visited many times in the interim, but back in the city that saw my first major international sporting event.
It must be a very different looking Tokyo.
Well, very, very different indeed, notwithstanding the impact of the COVID pandemic. Around the city, there's not the same celebration. The flags, the signage, the indication that the Olympic Games are taking place. Not that we get to any parts of the city, and I guess we can talk about that later on, but there's not the visible signs that the Olympic Games are on until you get to the venues, and then, of course, it's all action. But the city itself is very subdued. They tell me that in parts of the city there are a lot of people congregating and accumulating to get vantage points to watch television screens and things. But no, it's a very subdued Tokyo compared to the streets that we remember so well back in 1964.
And how do the Japanese people feel about the games going ahead?
Well, before we arrived in Tokyo, I, like many others, was well aware that there was a significant public discontent with the fact that thousands and thousands of international visitors would be pouring into Tokyo, and the risks of spreading COVID into the community was very high, and very the potential threat was there. As a consequence, there were very vocal protests, but you know, we haven't seen any of that. I know there's been protests outside the Olympic Village, but on our way from the hotel to the aquatic venue, we've seen no real significant indication of there being any apathy or antipathy to the games being staged. And the hosts that we meet at the venues and here at the hotel have been very, very gracious and very welcoming of us.
Were you at the opening ceremony, Dave?
No, a very limited number of people attended. And as a member of the International Federation of FINA, we weren't represented, I think, apart from probably the FINA president and some of the executive. But no, we sat back in a hotel and watched the events unfolding and enjoyed that from a distance, but it's not quite like being there. And I think back to the stadium, the National Stadium in 1964, and the feeling and the impact of being there is a little bit different sitting back in a hotel watching it on a big screen.
Yes. Speaking of those 1964 games, there's a lovely story about the kickboard that you used back then making its way to Tokyo for these games. Can you fill us in on that story?
Yes, Karen, that was a bit special and a bit emotional for me. I had the good fortune in my role as president of Swimming New Zealand to say farewell to our Olympians, the eight of them attending Tokyo for their very first Olympic Games. So I was able to share with them the feelings I had in 1964 attending my first Olympics. So we compared notes in that regard. And I said to them at the time, one of the little mementos I have from Tokyo, and I've preserved it all these years, was a kickboard that was presented to each of the swimmers when we arrived in Tokyo 64. One of the sponsors gave us all a special kickboard. Well, I had that with me as a little bit of a prop, and I handed it around, and the swimmers were really, really interested in examining it. And then Erica Fairweather, the 17-year-old most junior member of our Olympic team, came up to me afterwards and said, "Dr. Dave, could I take your kickboard back to Tokyo?" And, you know, I'd never thought of that, but she was, you know, really taken by this, and she thought that it would be nice to take it back to where it began its journey. And so they did, and she's been sending me pictures of it each day as it arrived in Tokyo, and she's been caring for it in the village. So for me, a little bit of a sentimental connection through our Olympic team now back to 1964. So it was a bit special for me.
Yes, it's lovely. Are you worried for the athletes with COVID?
No, I'm not. And I say that, you know, perhaps wearing my medical hat, because I know the restrictions that are placed upon us as officials. I'm one of the COVID liaison officers for international swimming, and my responsibility with my colleagues here at the hotel is to ensure that every member of the official FINA team, the judges and the referees and the water polo representatives, officials that is, are all tested each day. And so we have to ensure that everybody does a saliva test. We ensure that the barcode goes on it, and that is submitted to a central collection depot each day, and that personal health details are entered into an app we have on our phones. So there's a very close security over personal health and hygiene. And I know that the same stringencies are being applied in the Olympic Village under the care of our National Olympic Committee and Dr. Bruce Hamilton, the Chief Medical Officer for the Olympic team, and his staff are making sure that our athletes are protected in exactly the same way. And they travel in a bubble from the village to their sporting training venues and competition venues in exactly the same way as we officials travel in our buses from the hotel to the venue and back again, without any deviation from that activity plan. So I believe everything possible is being done to protect not only the integrity of the Olympic Games in terms of the potential for spreading COVID, the people of Tokyo, the citizens of Tokyo, and after all, we're just their guests. We would hate to be responsible for leaving a legacy of community spread. And I can assure you that everything possible is being done to protect the people of Tokyo as the athletes themselves are being protected. And in the hope that, although there's been a couple of cases in the village, as you're well aware, but these have been contained.
So how many people are on World Swimming's COVID task force? Who are you working with?
Well, here at the hotel that we're at, we're sharing it with a couple of other international federations. There are representatives from international tennis, so they're umpires and judges. The UCI, the Cycling Federation, have representatives here. Swimming, water polo, diving, the other aquatic disciplines are all in this hotel. So it's a large hotel that has many, many hundreds of rooms, and we're occupying all of them. For our particular FINA family, we're looking after about 300 officials and ensuring that they get their testing done each day.
Are you confident, Dave, that the Games will be completed without serious disruption?
Yes, I do believe that we're certainly heading down that pathway. That there have been, as I intimated earlier, some outbreaks of COVID, some positive tests within the village. they've been very quickly contained, and the athletes concerned have been isolated, and close contacts have been checked. But bear in mind, we're testing everybody every day, so there's a very, very strong, protective cover around the Olympic group, the athletes and the officials. And I think that provided people remain compliant and don't break the bubble, then I think there is safety. A couple of media representatives earlier on were unfortunately sent home because they did deviate from their required travel allowance, and they went shopping or they went to a restaurant. But there's a very, very low threshold for that sort of behaviour.
They're quite strict.
Very strict, and understandably so.
So how do they monitor that? How do they know that, for example, a media rep's gone shopping?
Yeah, well, they were spotted. The vigilance of the people of Tokyo, I think, is such that you stand out with your accreditation or the fact that you're obviously a foreigner. And I think that they were reported in some way, shape or form. This was very early on in the piece. And I think the stringency was really very, very high. The levels were very high at that stage. Not that they've diminished, but people are now much more accustomed to staying within our travel bubble and projected, work arrangement.
Very quick question for you, Dave. Sally says, please ask if all their bus limo drivers are fully vaccinated, masked and tested every day.
Well, the answer to that is yes, they're all vaccinated and tested prior to being accepted into the roles of driving. And that's the closest that we come to any Tokyo residents. So those drivers have come from a pool of people whom I assume will have been vaccinated. I can't give you 100% guilt edge assurance, but they're masked, they're screened in the bus. There's a perspex covering, separating us from the bus drivers. And everywhere we go, we enter a building, our temperature is checked. There are stringencies, as I say, in place. And so those protections are there.
Wonderful, Dave. Thank you very much for talking to us from Tokyo this morning.
Karen, just before I go, may I just say that Lewis Clairbert last night in the swimming pool has done wonderfully well, and we're all hanging out for the possibility of him coming back with New Zealand's first swimming medal, and that's going to be an event to watch as we push Lewis Clairbert to hopefully replicating what Daniel Loda did back in 1996 in Atlanta.
You may just say that. Thank you very much, Dave. Lovely to talk to you. That's Dr.
Thank
Dave.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it.
Oh, he's gone. That's Dr. Dave Gerard, or Professor Dave Gerard, in Tokyo.